Hi there. You're about to enjoy a recording made in Wellspring Church in central Watford. We're glad you've connected with us online, and of course you can follow us on social media, even download the Wellspring app. But much better than this is meeting in person. We would love to welcome you to one of our services in a congregation near you. As you listen to this recording, know that we are praying for you to be encouraged, inspired, and given wisdom from heaven to live life to the full as Jesus intended and bring transformation to your world with his amazing love. God bless you.
Hello, everybody. My name is David, if you didn't already know, and I serve on the leadership here at Wellspring Church. It's my privilege to be sharing part two of a message today. So last week I preached on the greeting of God, the invitation of God to us, and I kind of titled that Welcome Home. So this is Welcome Home part two. And as I was looking through scripture, we as a church have been going through Isaiah, and so last week we opened Isaiah chapter 56, and I was kind of just sharing a couple of thoughts about God's invitation, his welcome home to us, and that was that he welcomes us home, he invites us into his rest, and he invites us into his acceptance. So if you haven't heard that, then I would encourage you to listen to that, because you need to get that to get what I'm going to be talking about today. Because last week basically was about receiving God's welcome. Today I want to talk about being God's welcome. And you can't be God's welcome. You can't be his invitation if you yourself haven't received it, if you're not walking into it. It's like when you receive God's forgiveness, you are forgiven, but you're free then to forgive as well. You have something of God in you to give more of. So if you've received his peace, you're at peace, and you can overflow in that, have more of it to give out. So today, we're going to be looking at being God's welcome. And that's something that takes place after the change, after receiving it in the first place. So, a question for you. What kind of greeting have you given in the past? And last week, I looked at different kind of doormats and what kind of greetings they give. What kind of greeting have you received? That was last week. So this week, I want to ask you, what kind of greeting have you given in the past? And for you lucky people here, I found five more doormats with greetings on them for us to go through. But maybe to make you think, what kind of greeting have I given? So if we can have the first one up. Maybe some of you, when you're greeting people, feel like this. Oh no, not you again. You're kind of tired of welcoming that person or inviting that person in. You're kind of done with it. You're not really bothered. Here's another welcome mat. The neighbors have better stuff. Maybe you feel that somebody else can do a better welcome than you, so you can't be bothered to do it yourself. Ah, somebody else can do it. They're better than me. They have something better. Let them do the welcoming. Here's the next one. Give back, I'll come back with a warrant. So here's the deal. Some of us may feel some of those kind of invitations we've given or welcoming back to people, it's kind of been forced, maybe. Maybe it's been out of a sense of duty, maybe because it's a family member. I don't know what it is. But maybe you felt some of your invitations, some of your welcome homes have been more about obligation than really caring and loving. Let's put on the next one. Please knock so we have time to clean up. Hands up. Is that a welcome most people have given here? Oh, you guys are very, very well prepared. Man, that's my life. Like, please come back. Give me some time. I want to welcome you. I want to invite you, but I'm just not ready for you. Maybe I've been too busy doing other things to really care about inviting you in or being the welcoming person that I feel that I should be. And here's one last one for you. No trespassing. We are tired of hiding bodies. Maybe you feel at times when giving a welcome, actually, you don't want to give the welcome, and the person that's involved in your life is kind of trespassing. Like, you are like keeping at arm's length. I don't want you in my life. Please, can you have a little distance? In fact, maybe you're just a dangerous person. I don't know. Maybe you're welcome. Maybe you shouldn't welcome people, but that goes against my message. So, okay. So, here's a question I have for you. Have you ever welcomed somebody into your home, but then in your own home felt not at home? Right, let me ask that again. So for most of you, I think, just because of my experience, it's when you're welcoming family or somebody you're trying to impress. Since I got married, the first time the in-laws came over to our flat, I felt the pressure. So I was sickly welcoming, but I didn't feel at home in my own home. Now, another time this happened, when we were kind of newlywed, Hannah invited a couple of friends over. They were doing a European tour. They're based in Australia. And what you have to understand about Hannah's friends is Hannah's friends are so much cooler than mine. And I'm really sorry if you're my friends in here. Like, my friends, like, just deal with it, right? I'm a geek, you're a geek, we're nerds. But Hannah's friends are really cool, okay? They don't look cool, they are cool. And they're what you would call hipsters, all right? So for those of you who don't know what a hipster is, they're basically an alternative person. There's somebody, they're just different for the sake of being different. Like, they're tryhards to not fit in a category. Well, I know they're coming across really bad right now, but Hannah's friends are legit hipsters. They're not trying to be them, they just are. And so I met them for the first time, opened the door, and there's a man and wife, both with nose rings, okay, both with long hair, one's in a man bun, being the man, and I was just like, oh, you're so cool. And the guy had a beard, and I can't even grow a beard, so I was like already feeling like, oh, I'm not feeling too at home right now. And because they're hipsters, hipsters have some really weird dietary needs, right? They're on some paleo diet, they're on some caveman diet, they can't eat this or that. And I was trying to entertain, and I love cooking, so I normally throw stuff in a wok, and I don't even think 2 seconds about it. I'm just like, my food tastes good. But I'm freaking out in my own home. Is the food going to be okay? Is it going to be all right? Now, because they're hipsters as well, they really like their coffee. Like, really like their coffee. Like, more than I love Sailor, my own daughter. They love coffee that much. And so the guy came to my house and brought his own coffee-making machine. And I know, right? I was going to offer him a cup of tea, being English and all that. But no, he put this contraption together. And in the morning, he was doing this weird thing, just dropping the water into some filter like this. And I was just like, oh man, I don't even like coffee. Now, I've grown, I've developed, I've come slightly into the coffee realm. But like, for me, back then, I was like, you're stinking my house out. Like, I don't even like this. And finally, all right, they stayed for 2 days. And we took time off, so we were hanging out with them. And didn't feel comfortable enough to use my own toilet. You know, I don't know if you've ever felt that when somebody's staying over. So we spent 2 days and we were going around London. And I was saying, every time we went to a restaurant, I was making the use of the facilities there. I was not bringing that back home because I was not sure how welcoming I'd be. So I don't know, there's a little insight into my life, people. I welcome people into my home and I don't even feel at home. But what I'm trying to get at, I feel that when I share something along those lines, the truth is I'm not confident in what I have. So many of us don't extend the invitation of God or the welcome home because we're not confident with what we have. Maybe it's not even what you have, it's who you are in Christ. We're not confident in that. And so I'm talking about us today being God's greeting, being his welcome home. But maybe we're not even that confident in the home. And this is why I want to encourage you. If you haven't already heard my first message, please go back and hear that at some point. But today, I want to ask that question. How able do you feel to be God's welcome? How able do you feel to be God's welcome home? His invitation to a lost, dying, broken world. How able do you feel? And the thing is, as individuals, the way you answer that is a reflection of us as a church family. We're only doing as well as you feel in terms of being able to reach the world, because that's what we're called to do as church and as church family. So I've got a few thoughts, as I always do, and we're going to be diving back into Isaiah chapter 56, verses 1 to 8. So I'm going to read this to you, but if you have your Bibles, please open them up. And we can go through it together. Just a bit of context, a little review of last time. Israel, during this vision, during this writing, or the recipients of hearing this vision, Israel are in exile. And it's because of idolatry and because of social injustice. That's what's got them there. It's because they've been living by their own terms, they've ended up in Babylon, not in the promised land that they were once in. And so God right now here in this vision is sharing his heart for this community, for who these people, who his people should be like, and that we should be like him. And so here we get his call to his people. This is what I'd like you to be like. This is what the Lord says, chapter 56. Maintain justice and do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Blessed is the one who does this, the person who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it, and keeps their hands from doing any evil. Let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. And let no eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. For this is what the Lord says. To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I'll give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them beside those already gathered. So I want to share from this passage just a few things about being God's invitation, extending it. And in fact, it's not just this passage. We're going to go into other passages as well. So just want to take the opportunity right now just to pray for you all. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you love to lead your people. It's out of your grace and kindness and goodness that you actually speak to us. And I thank you that we can expect to hear from you even right now. So I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would speak and minister to our hearts. Lord God, would you unveil what it is you want to unveil? Would you reveal what it is you want us to see? Lord God, would you help us when so many things are trying to grab our attention in life? Would you actually take the main focus? And would you lead us and guide us in Jesus' name? Amen. Amen. So throughout the scripture, the main kind of two focuses are looking at the eunuch and the foreigner. And you're seeing God's heart for the eunuch and the foreigner. And so throughout today, the message is really about the love of God. And as a church family, you may have heard before, but we're here to transform communities with the love of God. And I really want to encourage you, some of the weight seems to be on the transforming communities a lot of the time. We don't just transform communities for the sake of making things change for the better. We actually are about transforming communities because of God's love. We're about his love first and foremost. When we're about his love, then change and transformation happens, okay? And so in this verse, we are confronted with God's heart for the eunuch and for the foreigner. And for them, their mindset, both of them, maybe that they are rejected. Maybe they felt rejected. Maybe they felt forgotten. Maybe they feel outside of God's welcome and heart and love. But right here, we can see God has a place for both of them. And so with the eunuch, you may hear that the understanding for the mindset for the eunuch is that there's no future for them. They're fruitless. They're just a dry tree. Nothing can come of them in their family line. They may even feel broken like damaged goods. But God reminds them of his heart in verse 5. He says, I've got a place for you. And it's within my temple. It's within my presence. Not only have I got a place for you, I've got a name for you. I know you can't have children. That hasn't gone away. That has not gone away, that issue or that problem, but I'll give you something even better. I'll give you a name that's everlasting forever, and you will never be forgotten in me. You will be restored. And I just want to encourage you, you don't have to be a eunuch to feel some of these things. Some of us may feel like the future isn't all that great. It's not shaping out that well for us. Some of us may just feel that we're fruitless or things aren't really turning out as we planned it to. Or maybe some of us feel like because of the experiences we're in or have been through, you know, maybe we felt a bit like damaged goods. just want to minister to your hearts right now with the word of God. God says he has a place for you and you get to carry his name. And his name, carrying his name, having that everlasting name is better than anything that we could desire outside of that. It's so much better. And I don't want to take away from the pain of some disappointments, but God's name, the love of God is so much, much better and so much more than what we could really want. God really knows this for us. So this is a vision. Isaiah gives a vision. This is a vision he's seen about God's heart and what's going to happen. And what I'm going to do now, I'm really excited, is we're going to move into Acts chapter 8. We're even going to meet a eunuch and a foreigner at the same time, an Ethiopian eunuch. And this is following Pentecost. This is following the outworking of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit at this point has only really broken out onto the Jews and the Jews who've been scattered. The text just before this is now moving into Samaria. And what we have, we're presented with a guy called Philip. Philip carrying the heart of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with wisdom. I'm not sure if he's actually the apostle Philip. I think this is a guy who helped serve the tables in an earlier chapter. But he's gone to Samaria, and now we find ourselves on the desert road. So if you've got your Bibles, chapter 8, and I'm going to read from verses 26 to 31. Then I'm going to do a bit of a jump and then read 36 and 38. Here we go. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And as they start talking, unfolding, what they've actually been reading, or what he was reading, the eunuch, was Isaiah chapter 53. It's what we talked about over our Easter period. It's about the Messiah. It's about Jesus. And so Philip, with the love of God, with his heart for this eunuch, which was weird, okay? Weird at the time, because he's only been messing around with Israelites and those who'd fallen away. Now he's with a foreigner, he's with a eunuch, and he's sharing about the love of Jesus, sharing about Jesus dying and rising again for him through Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, which is only three chapters before what we've read about the eunuch. And just remind yourselves, there weren't chapters back then when they're reading Isaiah. So I think it's safe to presume as they were reading Isaiah, you know what? The eunuch would have read about God's heart for the eunuch and the foreigner. Anyway, it so happens in verse 36, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and Philip baptized him. This is an incredible portion of scripture. It is the outworking of the vision that Isaiah had in chapter 56. And so much so that this is an unfolding. This is the first time, like, we've heard about God or Jesus saying to his disciples from Jerusalem to Samaria to Judea to the ends of the earth. This is the original unfolding. This is going all the way to Ethiopia. And so far, Philip's just been kind of starting up a bit of a revival in Samaria, okay? And people are getting filled with the Spirit there. And now he's going to preach the name of Jesus to this eunuch. It's so fantastic. Now, let me just share with you at this point, the love of God that Philip has, what he has, the message he has, the way he gets there is because the Spirit led him. Just want to encourage you, when you have the love of God, the Spirit leads you, and the Spirit led Philip. In fact, the love of God should give us direction. If you have the love of God, if you've experienced his invitation into who he is, into his rest and acceptance, actually, you're not lost. You're found. You're in him. But what that means is you're not only found and you're in him, but God wants to give you further direction in your life. Do you feel a sense of direction with being God's invitation? with being God's welcome? Have you considered God would want to lead you and guide you? You see, when you have God in your life changes. And that means some of your direction, some of the way you do things may change as well. It's really interesting that for Philip, I guess all he'd really known is life in Jerusalem. That's where we pick up the story from him. And now he's gone to Samaria and he's had this amazing revival breakout, people coming to know and lift up the name of Jesus. That's a pretty sweet place to be. As an evangelist or somebody who wants to share about God and seeing people respond, that's where you want to be. But the Spirit of God led him to the desert road. Could have stayed here where things were going well and things were going good and he'd been helping out, but he was led by the Spirit. When you have the love of God in your life, the Spirit directs your life. That's the first thing I want to share today. The Spirit needs to direct your life if you really want to be the invitation of God. Now, the second thing I want to pick out from this passage is how Philip ran after the chariot. Okay, so it wasn't just there's a chariot. Philip, there was motivation. There was actually action from Philip's behalf. He was told something. He obeyed it. He ran after the chariot. In fact, it sounds a bit creepy at first because he's kind of just like walking alongside it whilst listening to this Ethiopian. I'm guessing reading Isaiah out loud. But the Spirit led him to initiate a conversation. Can I share with you what that means? We can't just go. We have to actually be making an effort. We have to have this motivation in us to connect and to meet the dying and broken world out there with the love of Jesus, not just being walking alongside it. There was a point during that time where he said, can I explain to you? Can I share with you? And I really want to encourage you with this because for me, this is what I see. The love of God motivates you, motivates me to go after unexpected people and unexpected places. I think God gives us a heart for people we wouldn't originally think of. And God actually blows our minds with some of the things. It's like, oh, God actually wants to do something here. And maybe God's actually given you a heart for a certain place or maybe a demographic of people. I just want to build beyond just maybe family and friends. God actually has something for some of you, which is particular to you. It's an injustice that you have in your heart and it's bubbling over and God's given you that. Don't just hear it. Go for it. Go after it. The love of God motivates you to go after things and to search for things. Now, I want to encourage you with the kind of searching after it. It's searching after because of God's heart. Now, me and Sailor, there's so many programs that me and my daughter watch together. One of them's called Swashbuckle, all right? And in Swashbuckle, the whole premise of the show is they're picking up treasure. There's like 5 gems they have to find. And Sailor just wants to make this a reality in her home. She would turn our house into a pirate ship if she could. But what we've done, because we don't have gems, and not that size of a gem anyway, I've got Lego or Duplo, and I get 5 Duplo pieces. And Sailor's like, can you hide them? And I'll hide them around the house. And I'll hide them in places you wouldn't expect to find a Duplo piece, right? I'll hide them in the washing machine. I'll hide them in the chemical cupboard. Joking. I'll hide them. some of you are like, no, you're not joking. I'll hide them. Well, if it's a good hiding place, it's a good hiding place, all right? Under the chair and things like that. And Sailor doesn't just go to look for them. She runs after them. She's so excited to find what it is that I've hidden or prepared for her, given to her to find. She's running around the house and she finds it and she grabs them. And then, you know what? Sometimes she needs a bit of help, bless her. So I'll say, oh, you're getting hotter or you're getting colder. We've got to that point where she realizes that's about proximity, not about her state of feeling. And sometimes when she gets maybe 3 or 4, then she can't find one of them. And this is just blowing me away. I felt God really share with me about this and how he wants us as a church, but as individuals to relate to God. When Sailor can't find the missing gem, she comes back to me because she knows I know where it is. She knows I've prepared it for her. She knows I want her to find it. So she comes to me with expectations saying, Daddy, where is it? And I'm like, oh, I'll have to give you some clues, a bit more clues. Maybe look around here. Maybe look, just open a cupboard, maybe in there. You know, just that thing. God is asking so many of us to come back to him when we've given up on things, we're close, but we're just not close enough. And what we can do is come back to the Father and say, what is it you have for me? What is it, the invitation you're giving me? Why isn't it working out? Can you show me? I just want to encourage you, go back to the Father when things aren't working out the way that you think they should be, or when they're not unfolding as you would have them unfold. You see, interesting thing is for Philip, he's out of his comfort zone. He's gone away. And if we think about this story, the Ethiopian eunuch has just gone to the temple in Jerusalem, right? He's gone there to worship. He's gone there to experience life, to hear from God, to have things unfold. Maybe he's gone there with questions, but he doesn't get the answers there. He doesn't get the answers where you expect it to be, where the presence of God is. He now has an encounter with somebody who is willing to listen to God on the desert road. Can I encourage you? Maybe things haven't turned out the way you wanted them to. Maybe in terms of inviting somebody or helping somebody know God. Maybe an event didn't go the way it was supposed to. Maybe a conversation or an experience didn't happen the way it was supposed to, or the way you think God wanted it to happen. Maybe God's just doing a new thing. Because there's a desert road, and on this desert road, life can be found. I'm really encouraged by this scripture, actually, that because with the love of God, and I want to encourage you, you carry the love of God. Even the desert road you go down can lead to life. And so many of us maybe just like wandering around, get the imagery of the temple where the presence of God is, when God's already said, go. Go down that desert road. There's somebody I need you to invite. There's somebody I need you to chat to. There's somebody I want you to speak about Jesus to. And just because it's a desert road doesn't mean it's a dead end. Actually, it's a life-giving. They find water on the desert road. I don't even understand that, but they found it. Now, here's the cool thing. I've actually been to Ethiopia, and I've got to preach there and speak there. And whilst I was there, like the legacy of like Christendom, of people loving Jesus, I really believe harkens back to this story. That one Ethiopian eunuch, baptized by Philip, goes down and spreads this greeting, the invitation of God. And there's a legacy up until this day. There are people worshiping in Ethiopia. In fact, there's people in Ethiopia doing mission to like parts of the world that we wouldn't have access to, or to society and to areas that we wouldn't have to, but they contextualize and they do incredible things. And it's because one man let the Spirit lead him to the desert road. I just wonder, maybe God's challenging you not to just look at the temple, but maybe the desert road journey is something that's going to bring life and life to its fullness. So I want to encourage you, if you're on that desert road, and I actually want to encourage you, if you feel like things haven't gone well with like family members or friends or your children when you were expecting them to come to know Jesus and you were praying for salvation, or maybe there's been like a distancing from the welcome home that God offers, I just want to encourage you, just keep pointing to Jesus. Just keep being Jesus to them. Keep revealing the heart of God to them. Keep revealing the love of God. The question is, would you be that person? Like Philip, will you be that person to go down the desert road? Now, I want to also talk about the foreigner. And so with the foreigner, they feel like they weren't part of Israel to begin with, okay? And Israel may have made that clear to them at the beginning or through kind of history. But the foreigner is welcomed into the house as well. And not just welcomed to the house that is shared in Isaiah 56 is that it's a house of prayer for all nations. They belong there too, okay? This is for them too. This is their right too, which they may have felt like it wasn't their right to begin with, but now they're hearing the heart of God. So let's see, that was a vision. Let's jump to what God actually has in the fulfillment of this. And actually, rather than, you can turn to it if you want, but it's in Matthew 21, I think it's verses 12 and 13. But I'm just going to break it down for you. Jesus has just been welcomed as the coming king on the donkey into Jerusalem. And the first thing he does, he goes into the temple courts and he runs riot. Jesus starts getting mad. He starts doing some things and he starts flipping some tables and he's frustrated because what's going on is they've turned the outer courts into a marketplace. Now, remember I said the Israelites had said they'd ended up in exile because of idolatry. OK, okay? Because they were worshipping and doing their own thing with other gods. Well, they've swung so far round on the pendulum now that we've got Pharisaical ways of living where actually they're so exclusive, their religious legalism is so much that actually they don't actually see a place for the foreigner to worship God, or the part that God enabled them to seek after God, to have a place in God's house, they had now changed into a marketplace. And so Jesus even says, from Isaiah 56, this should be a house, my Father's house is a house of prayer for all nations, and you've turned it into a den of robbers, okay? A den of robbers, you're thieving on them. And I don't believe Jesus is just having a go at maybe they're doing money changing to the wrong degree or not to the right way. I believe Jesus is really getting, you're robbing them spiritually. Because God's heart is that they'd have a relationship with me, and you're turning their way of access to God into a marketplace where it's just transactional, where you're just benefiting from them. You're maybe just allowing them up to this divide, this, I don't know, this part of the temple, because in some way, it makes you feel superior, and maybe in somehow, some way, you're just benefiting from them. I think sometimes as a church, we're too chill. Please hear my heart here. We're just too chill about some things when God has purposed something to actually have an outcome of salvation. And I'll speak freely for my own life. Like, sometimes I felt I've made it when I've got my friend, or if I've just invited my friend to church, to a service. Maybe they've even made it into the service. I'm like, oh, job done. I've done it. Maybe I've had a conversation and I've just left it there and I thought, wow, that was a good conversation. Maybe because of our Christmas and Easter evangelistic kind of services, maybe because I've made it into one of those events, not even a service, I feel like that's it, I've done my bit. Where God is telling me, David, don't shortchange them there. This opportunity of being church for them is so much more than just bringing them to a service or inviting them to a service. It's that you get to welcome God. You get to speak about Jesus with them. You get to confront their problems. You get to share testimony of how Jesus has changed your life. Not simply sharing about my love for Jesus, sharing about God's love for me. See, my love for Jesus is up and down, but Jesus's love for me is constant. And I think that's just one of those little tools, just a little tweak that will help us in sharing the name of God. So finally, just to end, I want to bring it back to Isaiah verse 8, which I didn't really speak about much the first time I spoke about it. Oh, I've lost it. All right, hold on a sec, guys. Says this, the sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them beside those already gathered. I love this because it's like Jesus, well, God in this scripture is saying, I'm not done yet. I know verses 1 to 7 are really good, but I'm still not done. There's still more to be gathered. There's still more to do. There's still more that I'm going to do through you. There's still more of my heart that needs to be expressed. There's still more of my heart that needs to be received. There's still more for you. There's more for us as a church family, but there's more for you as well as an individual. God's really calling us to share his love so that the world would know what it is to be welcomed home. It's really hard and it's really testing, but I've got to ask these questions. I talked about us welcoming people. I talked about God welcoming us. Here's the question. How welcoming are you to the work of the Spirit in your life? How welcoming are you to God doing something through you, really doing something through you, and to follow it through? And if in this place of honesty and humility, could I suggest maybe, I just want to check, have a heart check. Maybe, just maybe the fire isn't blazing like it should be for the lost. Maybe it's not really the same as what it used to be for our love of God and seeing the love of people. So I just want to encourage you as the band playing, as we're going to go into a time of communion, I want to ask that question, what's stopping you from being the invitation? I gave you some answers at the beginning with the doormats. What's got in the way? Is it tiredness? Is it lack of love, experiencing love? Is it comparison? And this is a real chance because God is here and this is his heart. He wants you to carry his heart. God, would you deal with me just to get one step closer to what it is to be your greeting, to be your welcome home, to be your invitation?
Thanks for listening to this recording. We hope it has encouraged you, challenged you, and more than anything, that you've heard the voice of God and been aware of his presence with you wherever you are. Do share with us any answers to prayer or get in touch if there is any way we can help you further on your journey with God. Come and see us on Sunday, or you can email us at admin@wellspring-church.org. May God be near you and his peace be yours for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.